Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ellis, Matt Scraby, Daily Gambit, or what do you call it? Game League Daily? What do you call it?
Sports Gambit.
Sports Gambit. Sports Gambit coming your way here shortly. Trade deadline for the NBA is about tomorrow. 21 hours.
Oh, he's actually doing the math.
21 hours. I believe it's 12.
This is risky. This is risky.
It is risky. 21 hours. I believe it's 12 p.m. Pacific time when the deadline is tomorrow. Right now, they're currently on the TV. They're talking about Suns willing to listen to offer and Kevin Durant. You get a chance to hear from Keith Smith from Spot Track talking some NBA later on in this hour. He will cover that trade and his thoughts on it. Chris?
You know what else is tomorrow, Tony?
What else is tomorrow?
Tomorrow night is the NFL Honors Show, which means that they will announce the National Football League's most valuable player tomorrow night.
Who do you think it's going to be?
Well, I think it's going to be Josh Allen, but I don't know that it 100% deserves to be.
Oh, you think? I think it'll be Josh Allen.
I think they're
going to
vote for Josh Allen.
Okay. What about
you? Is this a lifetime achievement award for Josh Allen? Because the more I think about it, the more I think that Lamar Jackson deserves it.
Yeah.
When you do things that don't happen in NFL history, you have to.
Yeah, I agree with Chris on this. I think it's going to be Josh Allen. But I do think it'll be because of some voter fatigue on Lamar. For sure.
That's an unfortunate time to get voter fatigue when you're going for your third NFL MVP.
Yeah. But nonetheless, we got all that coming up. I should mention, this popped up yesterday in terms of the owners, MLB's owners meeting. They have put, how it works is when a team elects a chairperson, I believe the league has to vote on it. That vote, or that possible vote, has been put on the agenda for the owners' meeting, which I believe is today?
Tomorrow.
All right. So they'll vote on that. So my guess is you'll get, when that vote goes through, assuming it does, that'll be the next thing we really report on for the Padres, unless there's a move made. So there's that. All right, let's play some Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in the Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. Just real quick, back to that Padres thing. We weren't expecting anyone else to be up for it, right? Other than John Seidler.
No.
That was the plan.
That was the plan before the lawsuit took place, yes.
And so the lawsuit does not affect who they name.
No. I mean, Major League Baseball will do their thing. Now, they may. That doesn't mean that. They could affect it. They may decide, okay, we're going to wait until this mess is kind of handled.
Yes.
But they could also vote. We don't know. We'll see.
All right. Let's get into what we did last night. Boston Celtics, -1.5 at Cleveland last night. Chris was the only one who chose Boston, and Chris was the only one correct, because Boston won by 7, 112-105. So there you go, Chris. The Lakers at Clippers.
Have won. The ref should have called a technical foul on Jason Tatum for giving the too small sign late in the fourth quarter.
What is this too small sign? I got it. I mean, that doesn't bother me at all. Why would that bother you? Why?
Bothers me.
Letting you know you're too small. Or you're rocking the baby, which is virtually the same thing. You're too small.
What about Steph's...
The other thing that I don't like is the seatbelt thing, Tony. Oh, explain that one to me.
That's a cornerback special. Locked
that's
in.
That's a new one. Locked down like with the seatbelt.
I kind of like that one. Yeah. That's not too bad.
Yeah, whatever.
Lakers or Clippers?
Make a play out there, will you? Make a play.
I personally like the creativity. Like the seatbelt, like strapped you in, man. Let's go. Rock my baby. You're too small, baby.
Tony, I'm not going to keep my image as an old man rocking chair on my lawn if I don't speak out against
this. No, you're right. You're right. You lose that card.
What about the bowling ball cojones?
You know, that's only been done by an exceptional few.
Okay.
Sam Cassell, I think, was the first one to do it.
The alien.
And then Kobe Bean Bryant also got a technical.
Wasn't there a guy who did it and Chris hated for doing it?
I remember the guy from Major League 2. You have no marbles.
Chris is frozen on the screen. So anyway, we need to get moving. No, you're fine now. You're fine now. You broke out of the freeze. Lakers or Clippers? Clippers -8 on the spread. Chris and Tony chose Lakers. I chose Clippers. I was way wrong because the Lakers won by a lot. 122-97.
Lakers looking like something, right? They look like they were inspired by Luka being on the bench.
Bronny Bean made his first three, Tony.
Who's Bronny Bean?
Bronny Bean James.
You got Kobe's middle name in there, too?
Yeah, I'm throwing that in there. Bronny Bean James.
He was channeling Kobe last night.
Yeah.
He made his first NBA three last night.
See, the interesting thing was the Lakers were winning by so much that I stopped watching after a while. It was that kind of game.
He made it late in the game.
Miami Heat -3.5 at the Bulls. Chris and Tony chose the Heat. I chose the Bulls. The Bulls actually won this one 133-124. Then Auburn men's basketball against Oklahoma. I think it was at Auburn. They were 17.5-point favorites. Chris and Tony chose Oklahoma. Auburn won 98-70. So Chris asked for a big win, and he gets a big win.
Give me my big win, though.
UCLA -1.5 against Michigan State last night. Chris and I chose the Spartans. Tony chose the Bruins. The Bruins won by 2.
The truth teller is start. They woke up.
Oh, they're not delusional anymore?
They were delusional. Though the truth shall set you free. And I believe they have now been set free.
What about those two losses directly after
They were still delusional in those two losses.
Oh.
They came back to reality, and now all of a sudden they're playing some good basketball.
We're going to have high school coaches all over the country calling their teams delusional.
I can't root for UCLA because of Dave Marcus, but I liked with my man. What was the coach's name?
Mick Cronin.
Mick Cronin. I liked what he did so much that I was that I'm kind of rooting for him now.
Ow. He turned him, Tony. Chris, he turned Tony.
He did. Every great Laker fan, that means you, Tony, should find a video of Magic Johnson as Michigan State sweatshirt out Kareem Abdul-Jabbar before the game last night. It was a great moment.
He still, to me, even at their age, looks at Kareem the same way he looked at him after he hit that game-winning shot here in San Diego back when.
He has such reverence for him.
He does.
Yeah, it was a great moment. Check it out online if you haven't seen it.
Can't wait.
All right, here we go. For today, we have number 4 ranked Tennessee at home against number 15, Missouri. I didn't realize Missouri was having such a good year. Tennessee is a 9.5-point favorite. Scraby, you are first. Tennessee's coming off a blowout win over Florida. Missouri's coming off a win at Mississippi State. So both teams are playing well in the SEC.
I'm going Mizzou.
Scraby. You're going to take Mizzou plus the points?
Yep.
I'm going to say Tennessee has its mojo back. They blow out Missouri. Tony.
Tennessee.
Is that, by the way, do you guys know the worst pickup line of all time?
Yes, you're the only 10 I see.
Yeah, that's it.
You knew it, too.
Never mind. You knew it, yeah.
Every time. Without even any hits, you just knew it.
What is the actual pickup line, Chris? I know that's the payoff, but I don't know the actual.
You ask the young lady if she's from Tennessee.
Oh, that's right.
And she says what? And then you say, "Well, you're the only 10 I see."
Yeah.
That's how bad it is.
That is corny.
I have never used that.
You have.
You were at the ready with it, though.
It was locked, loaded, and ready to go.
I used it once because I thought it was going to be funny, and it felt flat.
I'm sure it did. Buddy.
I was also slurring it. You're the only 10 I see.
Goodness. All right. The Aztecs are off this week, but they'll be keeping an eye on tonight's game. Colorado State at New Mexico. New Mexico is on top in the Mountain West at 10-1. Colorado State is 8-2. a half game ahead of the Aztecs. New Mexico's favored by 8.5 here.
Wow.
Colorado State was not supposed to be this good this year. They're doing quite well. New Mexico's having a great year. But New Mexico doesn't seem to win a lot of games in blowouts. I'll take Colorado State to keep it close. Tony.
Yeah, I say they cover. Say Colorado State
covers.
Colorado
State, all right. Scrabe, you were a Colorado State Ram once.
Yes, I was, and I will be picking the Rams. I was a six-month Ram.
Just 6 months, huh?
I majored in partying.
Mm.
I was really
good.
Was
that good. Was that your first school?
Yeah, that was my first school away from home.
So you was left the leash at that
point. No, because alcoholism is a gradual rise to the top.
You were just really...
I was just starting.
Just starting to scratch the surface a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
I can only
Did you
say
go to class at all?
Yes, I'm a very good school person. But
then
when
Friday hit, it was like, turn up.
It was...
It didn't even take till Friday.
The shot luges in the backyard because it was cold. The shot skis that... Do you know what a shot ski is?
I don't know what a shot ski
Four shot glasses glued to a ski, and then you all take it at the same time. A shot luge is like where you pour the shot into a big block of ice, and it kind of creates its own river.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's nice and chilled when it comes out.
That's what I learned at Colorado State.
Shot luge and what was the
shot
other?
Ski.
Shot ski.
I have a picture. I need to find this picture of me about to do
did
a shot
you guys,
ski.
Did you guys all used to yell, shot ski?
No, it wasn't
like that. Okay.
No, I don't remember what we yelled, but I do remember being a tall person and doing this was very tough because everybody else was shorter, and it ended up getting all over my shirt, and I got mad because I wasted boots. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Speaking of
who
tall,
did you guys pick?
We all took Colorado State.
Okay, yeah. All right.
Because of the shot skis. Who scores more points tonight, Wembanyama or Trae Young? Spurs play at the Hawks. Tony. Wemby or Trae Young? More
De'Aaron
points
Fox's
tonight.
Debut as a Spur today. I'm going to say Wemby.
Wemby? Scrape.
I keep seeing that Trae Young pops up on my phone a lot.
He's been playing good
some
this
of
year.
The things he does, so I'll say Trae Young.
Trae Young. I'm going to say Wemby gives way to De'Aaron Fox tonight. I'll say Trae Young. We have Minnesota minus 11.5 over doubles in Minnesota. Bulls with
doubles.
The shocking victory last night. Scraby, what do you have here?
Minnesota.
Timberwolves, by the way, lost at home to the Wizards over the weekend.
They
what
did.
Is going on with the Timberwolves?
I'm going to go Bulls.
That was a bad trade the Timberwolves made, and it's getting worse. Second game in a row, the Bulls are tired. I'll take Minnesota. Tony?
Minnesota.
We got women's basketball. USC is at Wisconsin. USC's favored by 25.5. The Aztecs earlier this year beat Wisconsin. One of those games that we played down in Cancun.
Yeah,
so
this is...
for that reason...
This doesn't bode well for Wisconsin. USC coming off a loss.
Yeah, they're probably a little better than we are.
Yeah, I think they might put it to Wisconsin a little bit.
But I'm going to take Wisconsin just because we played them. Tony, you're taking USC?
Yes.
Scraby minus 25.5, USC.
Yes.
Or Wisconsin.
USC.
USC?
Yeah.
Okay, and one more. Number one ranked UCLA at home, 11.5 over number 8, Ohio State. Scraby.
Is this women's basketball?
Yeah, still women. Yes.
Okay, 11.5 UCLA, Ohio State. I'm going to go with the Ohio State.
I'm going to take the Bruins, man. They've been rolling all year.
Yeah, they just played a ranked team, too. So I'm going to also take the Bruins because they blew them out.
All right, we're done. We're a tad late. Apologize to you, Scrabe.
It's okay.
We'll do some traffic, and we'll get back on track here next on Gwen and Chris. Hi, welcome back, Gwen and Chris. 3:24 is the time. Short segment, as we like to say here. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll get some expert thoughts on the LeBron James, Luka Doncic combination. And, of course, the trade that brought Doncic to the Lakers. Keith Smith, NBA writer from SpotTrack, will join us to talk a little NBA. Speaking of that, a couple of trades today, Tony. Nothing earth-shattering. 21 hours, as you say, ahead of the deadline. But the Milwaukee Bucks have traded Chris Middleton away.
He gone.
And they have picked up your old pal from the Lakers, the well-dressed Kyle Kuzma.
Hey, well, I don't know about the well-dressed part.
Well, right.
He had a
strangely dressed.
Yeah, there you go. He had a balloon on one of the days, so I don't know how.
Yeah, I think I don't know. The Kuzma's a great fit for Milwaukee, but maybe they can turn him into a. Because I just remember the guy saying he didn't really care whether he ever won or lost. He just wanted to like put points up. I've never been a big Kuzma guy, but we'll see.
I mean, I think
Middleton was.
I think you got to have to kind of have that thought if you're in Washington,
right? If you play there, yeah,
are you just going to be miserable? I think I don't like the fit either, but it sounds like Chris Middleton just hasn't been able to get healthy. He had ankle surgery on both ankles. He's averaging like 12 points a game, which is well below what he was averaging. And for those who may not know, Chris Middleton is like one of the success stories of the G League. He came through the G League, made himself into a All-NBA type player, and injuries have kind of sapped him of the potential that he had at one point.
He was a big part of their championship team a couple of years ago.
Yeah, he was.
The other trade, the Sacramento Kings have acquired Jonas Valanciunas.
There it is.
I think that's his name.
That's right.
He's a big center. He's a big center. He's got a beard.
I got to say, this
play for this the one, Wizards as well.
This one hurt me a little bit because this is one of the centers that has been on the dry list
the Lakers.
Of the Lakers.
Right.
Yes. And so there's one off the board. Can't have him.
Yeah. Well, all right. And I hear the Lakers have no interest in my guy Vukovic. So.
Yeah, that's what I hear too.
I don't know. You're going to have to live with yourself on that. Super Bowl Sunday, a few days away. We'll have our picks later in the week. But the ESPN experts have spoken, guys. 67 people who ESPN bestows the title of expert upon.
That's a lot of experts.
Have all picked. Right, I know. I know. They're all experts, apparently. but I guess if ESPN calls you an expert, that makes you one. And 41 picked the Chiefs to win. 26 picked the Eagles.
Wow.
I don't know what that tells us, but I thought I'd pass it along.
What was the number?
41 Chiefs.
41 to 26. In favor of picking the Chiefs.
Very smart.
Do you hear what Tony said?
Yeah. I think the silly thing of all of this is that they continue to have these people pick the final score. And it is just like the biggest waste of time. All of a sudden, everybody has to know the score of the Super Bowl.
Right.
And does anyone out there really get it right?
No.
Nobody gets it right.
Nobody gets it right.
I don't know why Chris is mad about this. This seems like something that he would love to do. Pick the score.
Well, we'll do it. We'll do it too. But it's just it just seems like a waste. I mean, hey, look. Make no mistake. Somewhere on a big website or on an ESPN show, they'll have a segment where 50 celebrities pick the final score of the Super Bowl. What for?
What if one of them hits it?
Nothing. So what? Nothing. Even if they get it, it's just a miracle.
Nothing literally happens if they get it.
Well, then I'll be like,
nothing literally happens.
Who's a B-list celebrity?
I mean, you're making it seem like, well, if they get it right, then that means they must be able to really see the future, right?
They are celebrities.
True Nostradamus right there.
Yeah. I thought one of the most interesting picks of this game was made by expert commentator Joe Buck.
Oh.
Who has picked the Eagles to win.
Are they not doing a game?
No.
Oh, okay. There you go.
Oh, he's not doing the game. Okay, never mind.
I was about to say, you can't do that.
Why?
Right, okay.
They usually stay, like, you know, it's Kirk Herbstreit when they do college football.
Yeah.
He doesn't even really comment on the game that he's actually broadcasting.
No, you don't want to do that. Yeah, because the people already hate you enough and think you're announcing for one side or the other, so you don't want to make a pick on
for
the
sure.
Game.
Can you imagine if, I guess, who does the baseball games? Who does the national baseball game?
Oh, yeah, ESPN? Joe Davis.
Can you imagine if Joe Davis picked a Padre-Dodger game before he did it?
Well, he did by the way he announced it.
Knock it off.
When the Dodgers did something, he was like, oh, yeah, Dodgers! When the Padres did something, he was like, yeah,
You know what's funny, Scrape, is I was kind of even looking for that, and it just couldn't be further from the truth. Joe Davis did a great job.
He's a pro.
He just didn't announce what we wanted him to, which right. was a Padre victory.
The game did not allow him to announce That's what right. we wanted him to.
Way That's to toe right. the line, Chris.
Now, I will give you this, Scraby.
If
you
give really want to
get, no, I'm going to give him this. If you really want to get angry out there, find the tweet that I saw today of Ken Rosenthal explaining what's wrong with the Padres organization
right now. I purposely did not cite that.
Has anybody seen this yet?
I know it's going to piss some people off, boy.
Oh, my God. We already hate you, Ken.
Admittedly, I can't
believe you didn't see it. I fully expected it to be in the rundown when I got here today.
I stay away from Ken Rosenthal these days.
Yeah, well, this would have been...
He tweeted something...
This would be great for the Scraby Chronicles for sure.
Yeah, you're not going to like this, Scraby. Yeah, oh, yeah, the ownership situation's a mess, and they don't know what they're doing, and who knows, and I don't even think they know what they want to do.
You said your subject matter was petering out yesterday. You have no petering with this one.
No
Matt.
Petering.
Yeah, you bring that tweet up, Scraby. You'll be talking for 2 hours straight.
I don't see this tweet, but I'll keep looking.
Keep looking.
I don't know when
All right,
to.
We'll take a break. Come back. We got Keith Smith talking NBA next on Gwen and Chris.
3:36 on the clock. Just Tony Gwynn Jr. and Matt Scraby. Chris Ello gone for the rest of the show. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Aztecs taking on?
They're in Fresno.
Fresno. Lovely Fresno.
I really love that the airport code is FAT.
Is that the airport code?
FAT is their airport code. I think
Fresno...
Area transfer. Yeah, I don't know, but it's called like Fresno Yosemite, but Yosemite's kind of far, so it's very misleading. It's like the airport in Oakland. Do you know what they call themselves now?
What do they call themselves now?
It's
you don't know either.
No, apparently. I do. It's because the San Francisco airport doesn't like it. They're called like the San Francisco Bay Oakland Airport, so that people get confused.
They tried to do the Angels thing there, Los Angeles at Anaheim.
Yes, the Oakland Airport, and I think the San Francisco Airport like cease and desisted them, but they can still use that name because they're just talking about the actual bay.
Right, right. I hear no lies.
I mean, people, you've been to the Oakland Airport?
Of course.
It's a nice airport. It's not
bad. It's actually, my experience going to the Oakland airport is a lot better than going to the San Francisco airport.
Yes.
So
100%.
If you didn't know that little life hack, you're flying into the bay, go to Oakland. Don't go to San Francisco.
Go to Oakland and then take BART.
Yes.
Because they have a BART that goes all the way to the Oakland airport now. But it's called San Francisco Bay Oakland International Airport, which is hilarious. It's
like, you're stealing our name.
They're like, oh, all the customers think you're San Francisco. And by the way, getting from San Francisco airport to the city is brutal. From San Francisco.
Yes, yes.
It's only like 20 miles, but it takes forever.
When we fly in as the Padres fly, we fly in Oakland. We don't fly into San Francisco.
You guys fly into Oakland and then come across the bridge?
Yep.
Wow. That's probably how
bad it is going into San Francisco.
Do you guys stay in the city?
Yeah, we stay in San Francisco.
That's crazy. We'll be flying over
every time.
Interesting.
What we got out there? Mentioned the how about this? This quick some news. By the way, Keith Smith's going to join us, Spot Track, talk a little NBA with the deadline looming. We'll get into that conversation. KD has no interest in a Warriors reunion. A lot of rumors out there that the Warriors had kind of turned their focus back to KD. KD was like, nah, man, been there, done that.
I mean, how many teams has KD played for at this point?
I don't need to revisit it. I'm getting the sense that it's not KD that is pushing getting out of this.
Okay.
I think it's the Suns for fear that KD might do what he's done in the past. That's my guess.
Which is he...
Get to that last year and do it. Like, I ain't coming back.
That's kind of messed up. I mean, you
I ain't coming back. I mean, he did it with OKC, right? He played it to the very end, signed with Golden State. Did it with Golden State, played to the very end, signed with Brooklyn. Now, Brooklyn then traded him after all of the pieces went away. Harden went. Kyrie went.
Ben Simmons was there for a second.
Ben Simmons was there. Didn't quite work out. They let him go. And so, wait, is Ben Simmons Brooklyn, isn't he?
I haven't heard about this guy. I gotta see. I think he is in Brooklyn.
I think
still.
He's still. He was playing for a little bit there.
For a little bit?
I mean, he might still be playing.
He said the headline that came up was Ben Simmons still working on trusting his body after injury.
Yeah.
Which
he's had some bad ones. I know it's been fun to poke at Ben, but he has had like some real back issues that have kept him from playing.
He's averaging 6 points this year. 7 assists, though.
He's playing, though.
He hasn't played since... he's back. Yeah, February 1st.
All right, well...
I'll take back all my trash talk then.
No, you won't. You'll be talking about him again here shortly. You remember your boy Joe Burrow's house got broken into?
Yeah.
Got all three of those guys.
They did.
They got the burglars.
A couple weeks ago, they released something that they caught at least one of them, and the guy in his car had a used LSU t-shirt and a Bengals hat. Like, how else do you want to be caught? Using a used LSU t-shirt and a Bengals hat.
All three of them. Got them. 22, 23, and 38 years of age.
Wow.
They have been indicted on charges of whatever, but charged with trespassing, stolen goods, interstate and falsifying records in a federal investigation. So,
and messing with Joe Burrow. You just don't do that.
You shouldn't. Cold as ice.
Cold as ice. That's right.
All right. Before we get to Keith, let's check some traffic. We are just, less than 24 hours away from the NBA trade deadline coming to an end. And we bring on Keith Smith of SpotTrac to join us here. Keith, how are you, man? Thanks for coming on.
I'm doing well. Thank you for having me.
Well, I got to get your opinion on the big one. Luka Doncic goes from Dallas to L.A., Anthony Davis goes from L.A. to Dallas. Some other moving pieces there. But what was your first thought? I know myself, when it hit my phone, I was like, somebody got hacked. This can't actually be real. And it seems to be a sentiment across the league, it seems like.
Yeah, you're 100% spot on with my reaction as well. I had actually literally just like kind of wrapped up for the night. I was laying down. I was playing one of those stupid mobile games to kind of wind down. And then all of a sudden I look up and I'm like, whoa, wait, like I am, is this real? And then I'm looking, and it was when I started seeing the other ESPN personalities sharing, and then you had other reporters, and I was like, all right, this is real. It's time to get back to work.
I mean, what was your first thought about the trade in itself? I mean, it's not often a guy that is 25 years of age, that has accomplished what Luka has accomplished to this point, get traded at all, especially for another guy who's a first-team All-NBAer type guy. What was your first thoughts?
Yeah, you're spot on with that. It was, what is happening here? Like, what is going on? And my first thing was, well, we're going to find out that Luka Doncic told the Mavericks he was done with them, because that would have been the only thing that made sense. To trade him. And now, you know, as we're a few days removed from this, we're finding out that Dallas loves Anthony Davis. They believe Anthony Davis is the guy for them. Moving forward, they think that he's going to be everything that they need him to be as they kind of, you know, go forward. And they're excited to have him as they build the next iteration of their team. I apologize. I have the hiccups.
No worries.
But they're in a spot where, you know, they are very much, you know, making it clear, like, this is what we wanted to do. And I think it's a complete misevaluation. I don't think he's anywhere near the level of player that Luka Doncic is, despite being a great player. But that's where Dallas is at, and that's why now Luka is a Laker.
Keith, let's take it from the Lakers' perspective here. I mean, after the surprise and, you know, winding down, my first thought after that was that this is the first step to life without LeBron James. And I don't necessarily think it meant, you know, we're showing LeBron the door, but we have to have ourselves in place, a generational player in this organization after LeBron leaves. And the Lakers always seem to have one of these guys. They have for as long as I can remember. So do you think that that's what interested them? Because on the surface, unless they're able to make another trade or two here in the next couple days and get some help in the front court, I don't see how they can win anything the way they're currently constructed.
Yeah, so to the first part of that, this is what 100% what this is. This is I said, not for a post-LeBron Lakers. They wanted to have that super-duper star in place that can be the guy they're going to orbit everything around now moving forward, and that's Luka. That's, you know, he is that level of guy. He's the kind of guy that they can pitch, hey, come to L.A. and come play with him, and they're going to do, you know, everything that they can. Now, when that post-LeBron future starts, like, you know, is that going to be, you know, in the next year or two? We'll see. There, you know, him himself, he said, yeah, this thing's close to wrapping up, but what does that mean? That's only something really LeBron knows. As far as the other part, yeah, they're not contenders right now. They don't have enough in the front court. They're going to be a tough out come the playoffs, assuming, you know, Luka is healthy and LeBron is healthy, because those two guys are that good. It'll probably be a little bumpy initially as they figure out how to play with each other and play off each other, but eventually, you know, they'll get that sorted. They're going to be tough, but they're just, you know, they're, you know, moves away from being true title contenders. I don't know that, you know, much changes for them this year as far as their ultimate fate goes.
Keith Smith, Spot Track, joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Keith, this is such a fascinating trade because it has so many different kind of angles off of it. One of the angles that's probably being talked about less is the fact that Luka Doncic is going to lose out on $117 million. He can no longer sign for the super max. I mean, we were kind of kicking this around before. Is this maybe a strategy, even though it may not be Dallas's strategy overall, but could teams look to do this down the line if they aren't quite sure about a guy?
Yeah, I mean, I think what you're seeing now in this new kind of world with teams, you know, setting things up under the aprons and trying to avoid getting stuck and that sort of stuff, I think you're in a spot where what you're seeing is if you're not 100% sold by the time you get to that so-called super max, a 35% max, you can't give it to a guy because then you run the risk of getting stuck with that player, and that's going to be tough. Now, all that said, I mean, it's Luka Doncic. Like, you know, I'll avoid the expletive that I like to add in there usually. But it's, you know, like that part, you know, doesn't make sense to me from the Mavs, but that's where they feel, and that's where they feel, and they're going to, you know, kind of do their other stuff. And that's going to be what is, you know, really going to be something to watch now as teams build out their rosters. Are they going to be able to find, you know, the right guys, you know, for this? And, you know, there are teams that are going to look at it and say the way forward is not two, three guys on max deals, but to have, you know, one guy on a max deal and build out all the rest of the guys around that.
Keith, you know, both Tony and I really believe, and I'm sure you do, that this trade was something that the NBA needed in a public relations manner. And what I mean by that is the only thing anybody's been talking about the NBA this year is how lousy the basketball is, how they're tired of the three-point shot, how the ratings are down and the interest is low and people aren't into it. And all of a sudden this trade comes along and now the NBA is front and center. It's the biggest thing going and nobody's talking about the three-point shots and any of that stuff. Once this dies down, are they going to be able to get back to that and trying to fix this sport so that more eyes will enjoy it?
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot to fix with the NBA, you know, personally. And I get it. I'm closer to it. It's how I make a living. I love the game. But I think what's interesting is some of the loudest voices, when you hear them, you know, with the most criticism, they come out then usually and follow it up with, yeah, I don't really watch anyway.
Right.
And it's like, well, then what are you talking about, right? Like, you're out here yapping and a million people are listening. You say, yeah, but I don't watch anyway, but they've already turned it off or moved on. So they're missing that part. I think, you know, the NBA has a problem when their biggest television partners on a nightly basis put a bunch of people on air that people watch and listen to, and they dump on the game repeatedly because it's, you know, it's not played the way it was when I was there. And, you know, Charles Barkley continuing to, you know, say you can't win championships shooting jump shots when that's what everybody's done, you know, for basically a decade now. It's just, you know, that doesn't help either. It's kind of like I say, you know, if I'm like, oh, that new TV show is coming out, and all the people on it are like, yeah, it stinks, don't watch it, well, then I'm not going to watch it, right? Like it's, you know, that's where they get stuck. I also will say this. when you dig into it, and the NBA has come back at this, Bob Iger, Disney ESPN, just talked about it today, that, you know, there's a lot of ways to measure ratings, and it gets lost a little bit in some of this stuff, because people, when you look at traditional television rating, that is not the way people consume sports always now. And then they talked about how a lot their new media rights deal, which is very clear to call a media rights deal versus a television deal, is different. And it was constructed in a different way because people are consuming these things very differently than they did before. And the last thing I'll say, too, is ratings for all sports are down. Even the NFL, which is still king in the country, they saw less people watching. And I think that's just a fact of there's 9 million things to try to consume now of all stuff. And I think people are just spread very, very thin with what they can do in their downtime.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You got to be careful to some of the voices you're listening to because, as you put it, Keith, they're not necessarily watching the game in the same way that basketball fans do. Now, Keith, obviously, the trade deadline coming up here soon. Kevin Durant's name, it seems like a lot of stars, names are being yeah. mentioned right now. It just seems a little bit off. It's the Suns want to move, but they also want to bring in Jimmy Butler. How do you think this lands? Do you think KD gets moved? Do you think Butler gets moved? Because it seems like they are setting up, at least from the stories I read today, they are setting it up to, in case he can't, that he has a landing spot back in Miami. Do you see a scenario in which he stays in Miami through this season, and do you think KD gets moved?
Yeah, if we do Jimmy Butler first, so that I think is the far easier one, he's going to get traded before 3 p.m. Eastern tomorrow. Because the Heat are, they're too far down the line with this to bring him back. He wants no part of going back. There's been some leaking to the media of, hey, if we don't make a deal, we'll welcome him back. But that is so far gone, it's not going to happen. And that's more just an absolute cover if, you know, everything goes wrong. They'll find a trade for him. And they've been trying to set up the fans as well with reports of, hey, we don't necessarily need, you know, X, Y, and Z in return. We now are looking for this. And that's trying to set people up for less of a return. When you get to Kevin Durant, this is where I say normally I'd be like, yeah, that's crazy. They're not going to trade Kevin Durant. And then I have to remind myself Luka Doncic got traded a couple days
right.
ago. And that's where you're at, where you really kind of, it's like, all right, yeah, I guess. And one of the things that's come out is Phoenix is a little worried. Is Kevin Durant going to pull next year when he's in the final year of his deal? Yeah, I don't really intend to be here long term. I'd like to be somewhere else. And then are they going to be stuck there? Well, now we got to find a trade for him. And they're maybe trying to get out ahead of it a little bit. And their path to Jimmy Butler is probably at this point, doesn't look like they're going to find a taker for Bradley Beal. They're not going to trade Devin Booker. So that means it has to be Kevin Durant if you're going to make a move, just given where the Suns are at. And I think they may be looking at, if Kevin Durant doesn't want to be here, Jimmy Butler does, and he's a little bit lesser of a player, but we can figure this out by getting him in here.
Yeah, it should be a very, very interesting next less than 24 hours. Keith, as always, man, appreciate you coming on and spending some time with us.
I appreciate it. Thank you so much for having me.
Keith Smith with SpaTrack here on 97.3 The Fan. Tony is getting ready for Gwen versus the Fans right now. He has stepped out of the studio for 1 second to prepare. So if you would like to play against Tony, give us a call, 833-288-0973. Gwen versus the Fans when we get back on 97.3 The Fan.